Everybody, what's up, everybody? This is the Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com. I'm David Kitchen, aka Soccer Dave, joined by Davis Matic. Davis, how are you?
Doing good. Just listing up a bunch of $2 NBA Top Shot moms. So feeling good about that. And we got the puppy launch today. Hopped into a bunch of slow drafts. Feeling like Pete in all my slow drafts. You know, it's a good life.
I actually have kind of a confession to make to Slow Draft Nation.
What is it?
I've kind of abandoned
them. No. Peter, no.
Only fast drafts. Wow.
I've done about 20% slow to fast, but I haven't entered a slow draft in a long time. I did a few right at the start. I think I might be converted.
Fame has changed you.
Fame? What fame? This the same four people that watch Splash Play and Swolecast ribbing me for being late.
Yeah. I would just like to say thank you to Peter for finally showing up on the show. Not only does he have a hard out, he also went late on this show. So thank you, Pete, for just making time for us little folk. So appreciate it.
Well, it also sounds like on the our show own guest. Yeah, can't even make time for us.
Yeah. On the show, Liam was here in plenty of time. Liam, this is his first appearance on the Swolecast. What better way to come on the Swolecast than to have internet issues? That is just like a rite of passage. So, Liam, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. This is the moment of my career, and couldn't expect anything less than just utter internet disaster
I was going to ask you where this ranks, like compared to winning the Best Ball Millie last year. Like, where does this full cast appearance rank?
Well, I mean, up there. If you notice, the tweet I shot out immediately was tagging you guys as best ball thought leaders in the community. Definitely very high personally. This is one of my favorite shows. I mean, you guys are hilarious. I listen to shows for comedy mostly anyways.
Yeah.
And
you heard it here first. Chess Liam could not have won $1 million without best ball thought leader Swolecast show.
Why are you listening to us if that's the case? All right. Well, as you're like a diehard fan, we should get you a t-shirt. How close do you live to Jacksonville?
is that where Dan Bach lives? Because I'll go up there and scoop it up.
Yeah. Every week, all right, Dan Pete. Bach lowers his window and tosses another Swolecast shirt out onto the street for the pores to pick up.
It's only like a 4-hour drive, so I mean, sounds worth it.
Yeah. Perfect. That'd be awesome. So Pete, are you trying to share something right now?
I did share my screen just in case Liam's internet cuts out. We can just replace him with this 80s jazz cup here. So I think this is actually just kind of really nice to know that we have this backup plan if Liam's video cuts out.
Well, I was telling Dave and Davis before I came on that I had a plan, you know, like the Swolecast. I was going to have like a long sleeve shirt. I was going to rip off the sleeves to, you know, for the Swolecast, but the internet disaster struck. So I didn't have quite the time to put that together.
On this show, plans don't matter. It's the thought that matters about the plan. The actual execution of the plan does not matter at all.
I think I just spiked my underdog ring somewhere.
I mean, Kitchen, even over on Splash Play right now, like people in the chat were like, does the Swolecast have a schedule? I mean, can we just get to the bottom of this? Can we just have a set time that we can all count on?
Can we please have a set time?
The problem is this is like the summer. We've got work events. We've got play events. honestly, I don't know what's going to happen next week because we've got a bunch of the BC and some action guys coming into Nashville. So
Rovell,
including Thursday. No, Rovell didn't make the cut this time. But yeah, so like the joy of this is for people to be, oh, cool, there's this full cast. Like, that's the joy of it.
Yeah,
we don't want the same people getting used to a schedule.
I did think it was Wednesday, like, so I was surprised.
Would Holka and Vetri in their threads, would they be down? Would they be down with just randomly, you know, a grenade launching a show at any given point?
100%, Davis. I don't know if you've read their threads, but the key is to just start. Is to just start.
Well,
and engage,
you know,
we started like 8 years ago.
The show is nearing a decade old at this point, Dave.
Okay, here is an interesting thing, is that Swole was not entered into Webster's Dictionary until 2019, I think, or 2018.
Is this where Dave takes credit for the word Swole?
Swolecast.
Where did the name come from?
It used to be called the Fantasy Insiders Daily Fantasy Football Preview Show, and then Evan once said, you know, pockets on Swole. This is the show where we get our pockets on Swole, and then that was appropriated. So the name even didn't come from Dave, but came from a guy who's
Swolecast,
no longer on the show.
Swolecast did come from me.
Well, Dave gave the platform.
But
Dave Silva, did give the platform.
Silva's responsible for pockets on Swole, though. Like, that's
but Kitchen discovered Silva. And therefore, the intellectual property of everything he does for the rest of his life.
Correct. Yeah,
this is like the one time that Kitchen outbidded Rotor Grinders for Silva's services. So we were paying him way too much at the time, comparatively speaking, compared to what we were taking in. And it's funny because now that payment is like a drop in the bucket to what Davis gets for a random Thursday afternoon show on the Swolecast.
Like, when I remember to submit my timesheet.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Dave, can I do my bit, since you don't really seem to have a direction that this is going in?
No, I do have a direction on the show. We got to let people filter in. We got to let words trickle out there.
Yeah, because there's not a regular schedule that they can play it on.
Can you calm down? Even when we do have a regular schedule, you big time us.
That is inaccurate. And it would be much easier for Pete to create the time in his schedule and to not have a hard out if he knew when it was going to be every week, Dave. Some of us have jobs. Some of us work. Some of us have Dan Bach as our boss. And let us play fucking ping pong, dude. Some of us got to work.
All right.
Okay.
Some of us got to work.
I can roll with the spontaneity personally.
Yeah, of course you can, Liam.
Thank you.
New Swolecast, Liam and Kitchen, two-man show. Best ball game
leaders. Two thought leaders.
Not every Wednesday, just whenever they decide to
just
do
whenever
it.
They want to show up.
I want credit for doing this every week, though. I want credit for it.
We skipped 2 weeks ago.
But that doesn't matter. Other than that, I want credit. Now what are you wanting to do, Davis?
Okay, so this is the bit, and I want to source this out to the comments as well. I'm going to a playoff hockey game tomorrow night. I am a fan of the Colorado Avalanche, lifelong. Obviously not the biggest fan in the world. I don't watch a ton of regular season hockey, but it is an elimination game. They're up 3-2 against the St. Louis Blues. So I want to crowdsource who would wear the Colorado Avalanche jersey to the game. So a couple details you would need to know. The main one being the Colorado Avalanche have a Muslim center who injured the St. Louis Blues goalie. And predictably, that has gotten very racist and very contentious in St.
Louis. I was wondering
Louis.
Where like, the Muslim like, thing was going.
A lot of death threats, a lot of racism.
Trying to get canceled early here.
To Nazem Kadri and his family. So it's very contentious. And this is an elimination game for the St. Louis Blues if they lose. So what would you guys wear?
I would never wear a jersey, so that makes it very easy to me.
Okay, nice Brian Hooper shows up to talk down to all of us. If I wanted to be talked down to, I would have set up a time to talk to Brian on my own.
What was the question exactly?
It took a long time to get there, but basically, should Davis wear the opposing team's jersey in another
into a hostile environment.
Stadium. Right.
Oh.
So like more and more hostile than like the average like Bills fan going to a Jets game. Like there's like extracurricular stuff going on, making it more contentious. It's,
take into account, Liam, that Davis is 6'3", 225, and probably not getting into any sports. Anyways.
Hey, I played pickleball with Herzig the other day. He is like 6'3".
What a phrase. Just the old BBM boys just club together to play pickleball.
The fraternity. What is the sport? What is the sport that there's going to play when there's three of them? Like when Bime 4 wins BBM 3, what are you guys going to do?
Golf.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, golf. Yeah. It's golf. It's golf Watch. Until it gets, yeah, golf until it gets to like six people. Then you got to play pickup basketball.
Oh man.
Okay. So to answer your question, I wouldn't like, I'm also not a jersey wearer. I don't look down on them like Peter does.
So when you go to a Titans game, you don't wear a Derrick Henry jersey?
No, I can't remember the last jersey I own.
So I wear jerseys to 100% of games that I go to. I don't think I've ever
the picture of you at a concert. Was it Kendrick Lamar? Or some concert where you
when I was in college and we all wore basketball jerseys.
Yeah, that was
I don't
cool.
own that many jerseys.
I don't either. Davis apparently does. I would just say, yeah, you can wear the opposing team's jersey. Just don't be like rubbing it in like other people's face. And also, just know that if your team loses, you're gonna catch some flack.
I'm actually not worried about that. That's okay. Like that scenario is fine with me. Like people jeering me as I leave in the losing team's jersey. That's fine.
That's a Tuesday for Davis on the internet.
I'm more worried.
Of negativity.
So what I'm more worried about is the converse where the Avalanche win. And I honestly don't know if I have it in me to shut the fuck up and not be an asshole on the way. That's more of the problem is I don't know if in that scenario I trust myself to behave.
Yeah. Well, how big's the crew you're going with?
Small crew. Three of us are going.
Are they strong fighters?
They're both taller, bigger dudes. Yeah.
Are they
solid?
But they are Blues fans. Yeah, they're Blues fans.
You've seen these viral videos.
Two Blues fans on either side of you.
It's like people are just pretty unhinged nowadays. Like that's what I'm saying is like getting beat up at a hockey game. I think Pete said it best in Discord. He's like, there's literally no upside to this decision. Like, what are you hoping to get out of this where something good happens? And it's like the only thing would be if I happened to randomly sat next to the only other Avalanche fan in the whole building. Because I went on Tuesday and I saw zero Colorado jerseys. Zero.
All right. I just need to say, with Memorial Day coming up, in this conversation, it did remind me of a moment when the U.S. national team was playing Argentina.
Yeah, you weren't even here. You weren't even here for this. This is not your story. This is stolen valor, Dave.
No, you posted on social media, and I got really upset at you.
Well,
because you were just. You posted a messy jersey. Like, who in the right frame of mind in the U.S. wears an opposing country's jersey, like, in an important match?
The U.S., first of all, it was not that important. It was the Copa America semifinal. But also, the U.S. men's national team is a joke, and supporting them allows them to continue being a joke. Like,
that is
giving
not
your...
true. That's
it still... is.
Okay.
But we should be the best soccer team. No, Dave, give me my platform. The United States men should be the best team in the world, bar none. And because of the way it's set up from top to bottom, we are like the 30th best team in the world. It's honestly like it pisses me off.
Well, that is beside the point of you feeling it necessary to not just like not shut up and not support the U.S. national team, but to instigate by wearing the opposing country's star player's jersey. Like, you thought that was, like, I don't know what you thought.
Well, it worked.
Like,
you were
trying to rile people up.
So PSU fan Sean Newsom was staying with me for the week, And we, you know, we're all in this chat with Empire Maker, and Empire's like, this is the worst line I've ever seen. Like, we need to bet everything available on Argentina. And so I was like 22 at the time. So I was like, yeah, absolutely. If Empire Maker says I got to lay this huge, like, I got to do it. So it was definitely a little bit of performance art, but that's definitely what fed into it.
Wait, Pete, you haven't been saying much. Are you still doing a freaking best ball draft right now?
No, I had to make two dynasty picks in the 29th and 30th round. Bailey Zapp and Benny Snell. Welcome to the squad.
Love to see it.
Bailey Zapp. I got to say, this is going exactly as I thought it would go my first time.
Yeah, what's up, Liam?
My first Liam on the show.
What? Yeah,
maybe Liam, ask our guest a fucking question, Bailey? Dave.
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, I'm just glad you're talking again, Tuttle. But Liam, as far as Bailey Zapp's outlook, what are you where are you at this year? You think he takes over?
With who? Bailey Zapp?
Yeah.
I took some Bailey Zapp in the underdog pre-draft, but no, I don't think he's going to overtake Mac Jones. I do know
Wait,
where he got
drafted.
Did
you actually have a Benny Snell take on Twitter? Didn't I see that?
Oh, Benny Snell? Well, I mean, yeah. That take was that it wasn't a take that Benny Snell is good. It was that we should probably be taking the handcuff running backs that are not getting drafted from teams like the Steelers, teams like, you know, kind of the Bengals, maybe even a Dontrell Hilliard kitchen. You and any Hilliard.
Don't pander to the host like that.
Yeah, I mean, backup Titans running backs, not really my thing. prefer to be the starter.
It's like the Mike Davis effect, right? Where it's when it's not a super sexy handcuff, then they don't get drafted, even though they have the, you know, the same contingent value as everyone else. Benny Snell definitely falls into that category.
Could be okay, Benny Snell. Could be Anthony McFarlane too, though.
Yeah,
I think McFarlane is not a thing as someone that had quite a bit of McFarlane last year.
I mean, I see that too.
Okay, so here's my question, because we are not even into June yet, but how close, Liam, are you paying attention to like off-season training videos, players coming back from injury? For instance, I'm just going to throw a random player out there, like Robert Woods. Looks like he's looking pretty good.
Very random. Very random.
Random.org, spin the wheel. What name comes up?
Could have been any player.
Which Titans coming back from an injury are you most locked into?
So, I mean, I think the Titans are kind of interesting, and I have seen Robert Woods doing the, you know, the high steps. On Twitter there. But I mean, I don't know what's going on with Treylon Burks, if it's just early season FUD. I think it's reasonable that he got COVID or something and he is actually exhausted.
They are talking about him like he is literally a cancer survivor. They're like, yeah, he was having trouble breathing out there today, so we sat him down. What was it? Yes, 2 days ago, it was his allergies were bothering them. Like, yeah, his allergies are really bad, so he couldn't practice today. I would say the one highlight I did see of him, he looked like an absolute tank in a Titans jersey. I mean, he looked big at Arkansas, but he looked like King Henry size.
He is huge. And not to compare myself to Treylon Burks, I did play rugby in college. But as someone that recently recovered from COVID myself, I was exhausted on that pickleball court.
Yeah.
You know, so I can relate to Treylon Burks, let's just say.
You played rugby?
I did. I was a wing, so the fast guys on the outside. I'm no longer fast.
I'm surprised the Patriots didn't sign you to play running back.
I mean, I'm that archetype, 5'11", you know, Chris Hogan, always open.
Tell us about kind of the locker room talk with Herzig after pickleball. I mean, what kind of stuff are the two champs discussing? Are we talking week 17 correlation? Are we talking like recipes? I want to know what two champs talk about.
Well, it wasn't a ton of chat because, you know, it was my first time meeting him and we were just playing pickleball, but we talked a little bit. You know, I've been firing on all the sites, and so I've seen Herzig on Drafters, so I kind of know who he likes. And so I was just kind of talking about, you know, like Alvin Kamara and Herzig won BBM one with Alvin Kamara. And so I asked him, you know, like, is this kind of like a reverse martingale where it's almost impossible to get, you know, to lose money lifetime if you just keep on betting on him because he was the reason you won. And he's like, I know that's not really what I'm doing. I kind of like the player, but it wasn't a ton of fantasy talk.
Wow. Two guys being a little of you, cagey.
Yeah. Of you two guys like after or before?
I did. I was going to tweet it out and say that we played for 1K a point in pickleball as a joke. I'd be like, that's just lost 7-Eleven, 1K yes. a point.
Yeah,
that'd be good content for those that know how many points.
I'll tweet this out after, and I'll add the joke. Even it's kind of bad quality, but
the reason why I ask is that the ballers, specifically Mike and Andy, I've never seen a Jason pickleball picture, but they are like heavy duty into pickleball, like registering for local tournaments. And so I didn't know if that was going to be something like how serious you guys take it.
Well, I mean, one, I think I have the ego to think that I could make it on the pickleball circuit.
Yeah,
I did play tennis growing up. I was the captain in high school. So it kind of relates. Again, the COVID, I was like keeling over for points. And for those that don't know, pickleball is like tennis, but you don't have to be fast. And I was just woefully out of shape. Herzig's good. You know, he's pretty good. He's like 6'3", so he's just a monster at the net.
I can't believe he's 6'3". I think it may be his Twitter profile picture, but I always thought of him as like kind of a smaller guy.
Herzig is actually has the CeeDee Lamb thing going on where he actually gains a half an inch every year.
15 pounds and half an inch.
Davis, how jealous are you of CeeDee Lamb gaining a half an inch at age 23?
You know, it feels like it would have been nice for that to happen to me. You know, just for a half an inch to be added every year would have been, yeah. I would sign up for that, no doubt. But
you guys believe that though?
I don't.
No,
at 23, who's gaining a half inch?
Why?
At 23?
My question is, why isn't anyone calling him out on that? Just be like, that is.
That's I not did like, today the Fantasy Life News.
My friends say I look taller.
I'm a truther on this one now. I think this is ridiculous. He also looks skinnier in that photo that he did last year, and we're saying he's gained 10 pounds. I mean, this is absurd.
I've not really been drafting him, but I guess he could crush if everyone else is terrible on the Cowboys.
Or if he just gets 15% more target volume because Amari Cooper is gone. The paths to him crushing are pretty legit. But he does look, I mean, he looks, this is like the inverse of that old Eddie Lacy picture.
His
you know?
Calf is so thin.
This is like, he makes Devonta Smith look like he has tree trunks.
He looks like Tycon Thornton out there, the Patriots wide receiver they just drafted.
You may not like it, but this is what peak male wide receiver performance looks like.
I was just gonna ask Liam your CeeDee Lamb take, because if you're not taking him in the first round, you're like basically not getting him in any drafts.
Yeah, and I kind of do that, just fade a couple players. I'm gonna have some CeeDee, of course, but I don't know. I just like Debo straight up over him. I like Steph Diggs straight up, and I like a couple running backs around him. But I mean, thinking about it, he has almost no target competition. So it's kind of like, why did Cooper Kupp crush last year? It's not solely because Matt Stafford, it's because Robert Woods went down.
But wasn't he crushing before Woods went down?
Woods was also having the most inefficient season of his career before he got hurt.
Yeah, like Woods, yeah. Woods was slowing down. Stafford was good. Kupp is good. And Kupp was going to crush anyways, but maybe not score 400 points or whatever the hell he did. If Woods stays healthy.
You think Kupp regresses this year, like majorly?
I'm in
like,
on
he's
Kupp.
Good, but not that good.
I mean, to wide receiver five, maybe. But if you're getting wide receiver five and they play the Chargers week 17, I'm going to take Kupp. And I think the discussion is, you know, like if you want to just say, hey, I'm going to take CMC over him, I think that's fine to do. It's like a high variance approach where you're just fading a player. But I think it's more nuanced where you need to think about the running back combinations you get in the 2-3 turn versus the wide receiver combinations to pair with a Kupp or JT.
That's the thing, is that the running back combo is so better, because I think the gap from T to Keenan is pretty big. I will say, though, that when I'm drawing two, I'm like randomizing Kupp and CMC. I'm not just always taking Kupp or always taking CMC, which means I'll probably end up with slightly more CMC, assuming like a normalized distribution of picks 1 through 12. But I just want to have a lot of CMC. Like it feels like being able to have 20% CMC in this tournament is like almost cheating, because I mean, I do think most reasonable people acknowledge if he plays 17 games, he will score the most points.
Yeah, and I mean, Jonathan Taylor is no threat to CMC if they're both healthy. But, I mean, Jonathan Taylor plays the Giants week 17, so can't discount that, and it's Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I feel like Jonathan Taylor is a bad 101, you know?
He's a much weaker 101, but I think the top, you know, the 101, the 102, the 103 is much stronger this year than we've had the past 2 years. Like, we're not taking an old Z.
There's three guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't really want to. Go ahead, Pete.
I was just going to say the market is so much more efficient this year. We're drafting the three wide receivers, Chase, Jefferson, and Kupp up there, whereas in years past, you're not getting that first wide receiver off the board. Even like Adams and Hill at their elite levels weren't going until 1-6, 1-7. Now the market actually realizes, oh, these guys can put up the 50-point weeks for you when they matter.
I still get startled every single draft that Zeke is not a second round pick. Like, I just assume the market would just like put him right back in there, because it's not like he was markedly worse last year. He just, I mean, maybe he ran bad on touchdowns or whatever.
August, he will be. But also, I think the market is not only, I'm actually writing an article right now kind of on this. The market's efficient in a lot of different ways this year compared to past. You know, like even the quarterback position, where we're not getting Tom Brady, Matt Stafford, Joe Burrow, and Jalen Hurts in the 10th round this year. You know, it's a different cost.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
sorry, Dave, to steer the show onto some football.
I think
I'm trying to figure out if I want to steer it back to
I think the one spot the market might be inefficient at is, I mean, it really would not be systemic stuff. It would just be player stuff. Like, I would be like, this guy's off by a couple spots, whatever. But I think you're right. It's like every quarterback who can run a little bit other than Daniel Jones is so juiced up. I did see a content site that will not be named have Patrick Mahomes ranked as like 30 spots below his ADP, which, I mean, truly feels inexcusable to me. It's like, when are people going to learn?
Why aren't you naming names?
Personally,
is it established the run, Davis?
I'm not. I said I wasn't going to name names. And Liam,
hey, why? When have we not named names?
I mean, I would take Lamar. I would take Herbert over Mahomes.
But you'd be wrong.
You're not gaining anything meaning. I mean, maybe, but in terms of a spike week, and who knows, like, I know the Chargers are going to be very good, and their weapons are very good.
This is like, dude, I'm gonna.
I don't think Mahomes is bad. By the way, I think quarterback 1 through 4 is not I don't want to have more.
Would it be surprising to you to know that Mahomes had a greater fantasy output last season than he did the year before when he was universally acknowledged to be the best? Would that be surprising to you to learn?
Davis, but take off the Homer glasses and let's talk about other than Chiefs.
But even further than that, the primary reason why you want to be building with Mahomes instead of these other guys, actually, there's two. The one being he's going to be in like a 60 total in week 17. The other being he has way better optionality later on in the drafts than Herbert and Josh Allen. Where like you're getting his teammates and his opposing week 17 teammates at such a good cost compared to what you have to do like Rams, Chargers, or Bills, Bengals.
I agree that you want to be targeting the players that we know are going to be good in uncertain situations. So kind of offenses like the Chiefs where in offenses like the Broncos, where a lot of their players are cheap and we know they're going to be good. But you know, I want even amount of Mahomes, Herbert, Lamar, just because I think he's personally going to be quarterback 4 doesn't mean I'm going into the drafts and being like, okay, I always want Lamar over Mahomes.
Yeah, you're just creating a range. I mean, the guy I have not taken at all, even Burrow, whose price I think is like the worst price we've ever seen for a quarterback. But the guy who I don't find myself taking a ton is Herbert, because I can't justify taking Herbert over Lamar. And there's like a 10 pick gap
bust this year.
No, it's just like Lamar. Like if we're talking about true spike weeks, like Lamar has a ceiling that Mahomes can't even touch. Lamar could run for 4 touchdowns in week 17, you know?
Exactly. And we want the spike week more than we want anything.
But Lamar,
check out
Lamar
spike week for the best ball Royal.
Can we mute
Rumble
Dave? Is there a way for us to mute Dave? Like we're finally having a good discussion on the show and Dave is like, I got to talk about the Titans or something.
No, I like it. Let's get the Robert Woods takes back in here.
No, I'm giving a plug for Spike Week. You got the Royal Rumble coming up. If you haven't seen the promo video, we've got a Peter Overzet.
Are you in there, Dave?
In there?
Did you not get an invite to the Royal Rumble?
They didn't invite you?
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I didn't get an invite. Imagine.
Wow.
Imagine totally not making
it's because it's not super flex best ball, and otherwise you would have totally been.
Of course. Hey, can you – But can you tell me like what this Royal Rumble is?
Me?
Yeah.
As I understand it, Rob and Eric and the guys at Spike Week are putting together 11 other or 12 total touts, thought leaders to compete in a live stream best ball draft, and they're going to keep tabs on it throughout the season. That's how I understand it.
So you're in it.
Correct.
I'm in it, and there's also going to be
Davis. You're in it, right?
Davis, are you in it?
I think so.
Oh, what a loser.
I'm pretty sure you're in it. I'm pretty sure Rob told me you were going to be in it.
I'm down, but fine for as a
no
message. Maybe not,
I also think there's going to be like a wrestling belt that gets passed around each year. That's the extent I know, though.
Okay.
It's no swag dome, but
well, really,
I mean, underdog ring.
If you think about it, Dave, it's really the spiritual descendant of the swag dome.
Yeah, DFS crossover. Yeah, so like we.
What is the swag dome?
The
before swag your time.
Swag dome, Liam, and for those noobs that are watching that weren't around in 2015.
I think even earlier than that, Dave. I think 2014.
2014 and 20. I'll check. I've got both.
I wasn't
shirts.
Even born back then.
I know, right? So what we did was we had, I think it was like 50, 60, I don't know. But there was a running total for DFS. This was like the first DFS kind of competition that we had. And if you won, there were 20 prizes over these 20 contests. And some of the swag was nice, and some of the swag was like kind of not good swag. So it's like, what's behind door number one type of thing. But it was fun. The best part was the shirts that they got shipped out.
Pretty. I got beat on the last day. Drew Dinkmeyer's dad passed me.
Papa Cub
took me out of first on the very last day.
Yeah.
Tough scenes. Tough.
Okay. As we talk about swag and getting stuff, Liam, after you won the Millie, how has your life changed?
A lot. I mean, I quit my job mainly because it didn't make sense to work this year at, you know, for like 50% tax bracket. Done some traveling. I'm going to go to Vegas to play the World Series of Poker main event.
Nice.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm gonna have two channels up and running. One is more of like a chess fitness combination where you know, they kind of go together.
Big overlap between those
still
two.
In my bit, intellectual fitness property.
Well, I mean, they do, because you, it's just the fact that you can't be good at chess and be out of shape. And I'm talking serious chess, but you know, serious chess games, you play for 7-8 hours and it's exhausting. It really is. But it's not going to be like, you know, some evergreen fitness channel. It's just literally going to be me like playing pickleball or being active, just trying to self better myself. I know some of you guys are on this.
Don't even get Pete and I started.
I'm big on it, you know, like trying to get some yoga in my life, trying to.
Well, we're big on it habit. Too. So we'll talk about this stuff until the cows, and Dave will write it up on his dad blog.
Here's my thing, Liam. I hear you. You've been doing this parade of guest spots, talking about launching these YouTube channels for literally months, dude. It takes 4 seconds
again,
to make a YouTube channel.
Liam fits in perfectly with this whole cast.
Well,
do you have any thoughts about a draft that you want to do for this upcoming year? Like, you might want to host a draft? Any specific type of format? Like, if you were to host a draft.
Like, what do you mean? Like an underdog draft?
Dave,
like have a
Dave,
guest
this
on?
Is a this is a bad bit.
Well, I'm just, it probably is. Okay, let's move on. What have you purchased? Like, one thing that you purchased from that Millie that you can share.
I got this water bottle the other day.
No, that does not count. Although that is a nice Gatorade water
bottle. I'm not someone that, you know, really likes material things too much. I'm more of an experience man. So I went skiing in Vail, Colorado. And that
Vail is amazing. Yeah.
Wait, the guy that keeps showing us his underdog ring isn't much of a, you know, physical thing guy.
Pete, I have this appraised. It's $200,000, real diamonds, gold.
Liam, you said you were bragging before the show. You have a high performance laptop. Is that, did you get that after you won the Millie?
No, actually, I got that before
Silva,
I won the Millie.
Did Silva sell it to you?
My old.
That was good, Dave.
I actually got it. And Pete's going to like this. I actually got it to stream because, you know, for those who don't know, I kind of got my start in the fantasy world being Pete's chess coach. Yeah. And my computer couldn't handle the streams. And I've been wanting to do the chess thing for a while. Yeah. I got a big boom over the Queen's Gambit. And then, you know, like, I love fantasy football, so more of a passion project. And, you know, it's just an honor to be with the titans of the industry.
Pete, he never could have won $1 million without coming on your stream to teach you how to play
chess. Shout out Chromebooks.
No. Well, this is the thing that's so perverted about that is Liam was my chess coach. I was his best ball coach, and clearly one of us did our job because I suck.
See, Pete, chess is a game that teaches you things about life, and I was trying to really hit home life teaching to you that didn't quite land quite yet.
You did have a hard talk with me about rage quitting chess masses, which really resonated with me, and I think I entered a more zen state after that combo.
So, I just thinking about this out loud here, the butterfly effect. If I hadn't have found Pete... and brought
yes.
onto the show.
I'm following.
Where then he, by his own accord, his own merits, he does good. You find him. You win the Millie from his coaching. Wow.
Well, let me bring you back, Dave, actually, because, you know, I'm someone who's played poker for, you know, large portion of my life.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have found you guys if I didn't find the man's 4 years ago or whenever when I, you know, because I was watching the man's and then COVID hit and I never had Twitter. I wasn't into like the fantasy football Twitter or anything like that. And I was like, holy shit, is the man's doing fantasy football stuff? Because I thought those old man's videos were so funny because they were like stacking the white chips up.
Man's super fan, Chess Liam.
Yeah, and well, go ahead, Pete.
No, I'm saying now you're setting up Kitchen to take credit for this again, because Kitchen is going to say that he gave Mans, you know, the platform with the Swolecast audition tape to launch them. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really like the butterfly effects from all of this is amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
And it all comes from David Kitchen, really.
Well, no, not all of it, but like certainly like the seed has been planted, you know, if we're going back to the farming, you've got to prepare the soil, and that's kind of what I did. And you guys are taking care of the crops, you know? So, kudos to you. And I would like to admit that I watched a Man's Poker episode. I think I watched like the whole thing one random night, like 2 weeks ago.
So wait, when
were you, was that like a midlife crisis type thing or?
It was on YouTube. It was like a suggested video after I watched the video, and I was like, yeah, I'm going
to. Jennifer Tilly already seen it.
It was the Tilly one. Yeah. Okay. And I'd already seen it before, but like it was still so good. And it was such a work of art. Like,
you want to talk about butterfly effects? Becoming the Man's is the ultimate butterfly effect.
Pete, it really did change your life, becoming the Man's.
Yeah, I know. I should quit all this shit and just go back to being the Man's exclusively.
The best part about the Man's was when Peter came to the Super Bowl party, and like Big T was still calling him Man's instead of Pete. Like he thought his
Levitan
name was
and
still...
those guys still call me Man's every time, like reflexively. Yeah.
Oh gosh! All right, Liam. Some more best ball questions getting back. By the way, if you have a question, feel free to ask it in the chat. And we might.
Please.
This is my favorite Kitchen bit. As far as your lineups, like your roster construction now, your players, your exposures now, how much different will it be now compared to the beginning of the season? Like, as we get closer to the season, like, are there guys that, like, if they become too popular that you've been on that you will just pivot from because of game theory? Or are you just, like, tight group of players that you like and stacks?
If a player, I think it really depends how high of a ADP the player jumps. You know, if a player goes from the 10th round to the 8th round, that's really not that different of a contexture to keep taking them. If a player goes from the 14th round to the 4th round or whatever Daryl Henderson did last year, I'm not taking that player. Yeah. Just because I think it's hard to beat the old teams once they get matched up in the playoffs. And once you draft the whole off season like I do, it's really about getting exposure to players once they drop if you didn't like them. You know, like, for example, I was not taking DeAndre Swift last year when he was around 1 or 2 pick early. And then he dropped to the 4th round or something after a ship chasing stream. And I was getting DeAndre Swift. And so it's a, you know, I don't really like look at my exposures too much and change how I act. I'll look at a player or two and be like, oh, I've not been getting them. I'll try to work them in a little bit more, but I'm kind of an organic, just let's fire a draft, see what happens. And if I like a player, I'm going to take them. And if I'm wrong, I lose, just like almost every other year.
Sounds like you're kind of on team hand build.
Well, you literally have to hand build these drafts. So
there's no other, I mean, you could just auto it down. I'm not doing that.
Well, no, like you're going by your gut. You're kind of going by who you're feeling at the time. Like if you feel like you don't have a guy, there's no spreadsheet that you are drafting completely off of.
Definitely not. And not rankings either. You know, like I think it's good to know rankings, look at rankings, but I care for underdog specifically where you can't have rankings and ADP. I care way more about the ADP than I do the rankings. And I know if a player's jumped in cost.
All right, Liam, question for you. Good for best ball ultimately long term or bad for best ball if we had, say, like an optimizer type tool for autopilot, which allowed you to add in more you know, rules as far as player exposure, stacking rules.
Yeah.
Terrible. I think it's terrible. And I'll give myself an example. Part of the reason I like firing in these best ball drafts is I know the sharks of the DFS industry, people like Osimo, people like Justin McMahone, or however you say that, like they auto draft, all of their best balls. So they're like dead water in high stakes, and in, you know, like you don't have to worry about these crushers in the best ball lobby. So I don't want to see those tools exist. I don't even, you know, like Underdog is more friendly to the big whales or the big sharks than DraftKings is, because Underdog, you can at least say, hey, I want two quarterbacks, five. Yeah. DraftKings, they're going to give you four quarterbacks every time. They're going to, you know, and you just know they're auto drafting. I don't think it'll be great for the industry.
I'm going to ask you some questions. Feel free to not answer them.
Sure.
Would you rather go against a Herzig auto draft or a Justin McMahone auto draft?
I don't
probably the
have
exact same rankings.
I don't have experience with like Herzig in high stakes auto drafts, and I don't think he does. Like, he auto drafted the puppy as like an experiment and for fun.
Right.
So probably just like, I think Justin's really sharp. I think what he does is sharp, but I think he views best ball as a fun little thing, as like a tax write-off. So I'd rather go against him.
He copied Fantasy Insiders and created Daily Fantasy Insiders. So
I don't know anything about
Justin McMahone B is my question. All right. Next question. You have to go up in a best ball draft against Peter, Eric, Leone, and Davis. Who would you rather face the most?
Whoever thinks the most differently from me.
No.
Leone.
No, Davis, you are not who I'm asking here.
I don't know. Leone liked my tweet on Juju Smith-Schuster and then unliked
the
it.
Link?
And then
who's
tweeted
the
out a thread about
out of that group.
Peter? You know, I have no problem becoming a heel to some of these people if that's what you're trying to build me up to, but I think they're all pretty sharp. And so none of them.
Okay. All right. I don't have any more questions after that. I was really hoping we get a little something more juicy than that. Peter, do you have any questions?
Yeah. If you had to hang out with David Kitchen or Justin McMahamamam, who would you rather go have a beer with?
David Kitchen, 100%. You know, okay, like I think David's hilarious. I think you. We'd be great friends in real life.
We are friends. After you said that, we are good friends.
No shots to Justin.
Right. Although you did say he wasn't very sharp just now, or a few seconds ago.
That's not what I said. That's what you said.
Well, that's what the tweet will say. All right. as far as I want to give off a little bit of a hot take. Yesterday was at my daughter's preschool graduation ceremony, whatever it is. Harold Landry was a few rows behind me. For those of you that don't know, like Davis, you know who Harold Landry is?
He's an edge rusher for the Titans.
Oh, wow. Someone's been doing their homework.
I bet on him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year his rookie year, because he was like 26
offensive
or whatever.
Or offensive rookie. Year.
And he was
fullback touchdowns.
Well, no, he was a second round pick. I don't remember. Boston there was
college?
Some. There was some reason why I did it that was sharp at the time, but he didn't end up winning.
But he did sign an $87 million contract. And so
did you ask him for a loan?
No, I
you tell him, I have this great idea. It's like daily fantasy sports, but there are going to be teams. And we're going to build the site, and you're going to be able to pick your team. You were hitting him up for
cool.
a speed round.
I played it cool. And
did you ask him any questions? Like,
no,
what's the deal with Hurts?
But here's the... No, because he actually skipped is like in the news for skipping OTAs. But I didn't ask him anything. you know, you did the typical dad head nod thing. Hi, how's it going? They're so cute, you know, whatever. But my hot take is this. He did not look like someone that would be like dominant in the NFL. Like, I was kind of surprised seeing him in real life without pads.
This is the worst 5 minutes in this show's history.
Davis, you already did a hockey jersey bit on this show.
Yeah, hard to be worse than the first 10 minutes of the show.
But anyways, I thought Harold Landry, he just looked kind of like a normal, like, swole guy. Like, nothing.
So are you asking of the three of you who I think would be an NFL edge rusher? And who looks more like a normal swell guy?
It just struck me as interesting that a guy who just signed is one of the most dominant players in the NFL did not look like physically what you would think he would be.
Is he one of the most dominant players in the NFL? He's got 31 sacks in 4 seasons.
He just signed a deal for $87 million, Davis.
Well, the Titans will give money to anyone. They trade a second round pick for Julio Jones.
Von Miller is like 34 and got
not to AJ Brown. I didn't give money to AJ Brown. All right. Okay.
Was there a question there, or was there just a remark?
No, that was a statement.
His hot take was that Harold Landry looks small, and that Harold Landry needs to get in the gym.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You know, as a new person to Twitter, as someone, there is count growing a little bit here. I've gotten some haters on my tweets. How do we handle these?
Mute everybody.
Are we blocking? Yeah. Are we muting?
Never
we
block.
Blocking. Never block.
What
Davis move?
It's blocking gives move. Them. Blocking gives them content. Mute. They will be shouting into the void for the rest of the time.
I recently also did a setting on my because it started because of all the spam stuff. You know, you're getting like all the NFT spam tags. Yeah. And I turned off. I don't get notifications if you don't follow me. Which has also really cleaned things up as well.
Mm.
Ooh. So, but mute's the play, Liam. The mute is.
So I went with a block for these two dudes. Do I unblock now, or is it just unblock?
No, it's too late.
Unblock and mute.
So, no, Liam, this is what I do. If I click on their account and they have like 10 followers or whatever, like they're like a no one, I will just block them. But if they're an account that's like active or whatever, I will just mute them.
I mean, like, these guys just no shots that they weren't very bright. They were just very misinterpreting what I was saying. You know, like, because David, I don't know if you know this, but I had like 60% Gabriel Davis and then was making a tweet trying to help the community, like, hey, here's my lineup last year. Here's how many points it scored. And they're like, and Gabriel Davis was not on my winning team, even though I had him on most of my teams. So they're like, This idiot said the draft only Gabriel Davis and didn't even blah blah blah.
That's the Sean Siegel. Oh, it's you. Curious. You say you like zero RB, but you won your tournament with Jamal Charles. Therefore, the entire idea does not work.
Yeah. So Davis went through like a phase. Listen to Davis, because he went through a phase where he just blocked everybody. If he didn't like, and he would like preemptively block people. Where even if he didn't like,
well, I'll block you. I'll block you if you like a tweet making fun of me.
Right, or like if he didn't agree with like
their no need for the negative energy, I like it.
Yeah, so like that's, and then what did he do? Now he's muting people. So that, again, we're seeing Davis mature every year and experience personal growth. So yeah, you just mute people, and if you don't acknowledge them, it eats them up. If they tweet at you and you don't acknowledge them, eat them up.
So sometimes I log into my burner account just to see, like, if I have a tweet that's got like a lot of responses. There is this one account that I've had muted for years who still tweets at me all the time. Like, not, I think most people get the hint, but there is this one account where I am so far under this guy's skin, he like can't believe, and I haven't responded to him in years, you know, and he just,
well, that's the main thing is, like, I think there's quite a bit of people in the fantasy football space who are frankly unhinged, and you know, like, I'm going to go to the FFBC and do these live drafts, and I don't need some crazy lunatic being like, you blocked me on Twitter.
Here's
or,
the thing.
Or,
they're all pussies and they're all keyboard warriors who will not have the like, to say anything to in real life. We go to the ship chasing drafts. They all talk about us behind their back and then they'd be, oh, so nice to meet you, Peter.
Yeah. Like these guys who hate the zero RB guys and who like, I'm in an FFPC Grinders DM thread. And I mean, it's at least twice a week. They get themselves all into a tiffy about Sean. At least twice a week, and Sean doesn't even have Twitter. And these guys lose their minds. It's so funny to me.
At Chess Liam is Liam's handle. He only has 866.
Okay, bombs. I don't like how you said only. I'm like plus 200 in a month.
You'd have that's more if you were blocking game, those David. Two guys.
Yeah, yeah. You're not even the four figure club, but I'm getting to it. If you let me finish, Liam.
Okay.
Taking after Davis. I would say that like it is inexcusable for you to have less than 1,000 followers. Like we got to get you to the comma club. So follow Liam at Chess Liam. Liam, if you will create a thread on how you won the BBM.
Imagine not following a guy with this as his profile picture.
Gotta have the dogs.
If you will create a 8-thread tweet on how you won and then followed up with, if you like this, make sure you like, or make sure you follow my account and retweet, then you will get over 1,000 people. And
are we trying to turn Liam into an engagement farmer?
Well,
he's trying.
I'm going to
see him out there.
I'm going to do that for, I'm going to fire on TikTok, but I think I'm going to make a video like basically how I won $1 million. And it's kind of going to be like
a YouTube account first, like just real baby steps before we go with a multi
this week, Pete, this week
strategy.
It's happening. I
right,
promise
I have a haircut that started 2 minutes ago.
All right. Well, Peter being late, sorry, everyone. It's caused us to not extend to our full allotment of time. Apologies there, but if you will leave us any comments, hit the like button, follow at Chess Liam on Twitter. And Liam, this will not be the first time that you're on the show. So
yeah, I look forward
well, it will to be the first time, but hopefully not the last.
Thank you, Davis. Sorry, I was in the middle of hiding Pete's Easter egg. Or
thanks so much for having me. Hopefully, I got better internet next time. And
yeah,
looking forward to doing more.
You know, see if we can get you an Ethernet cable.
Yeah, we'll upgrade that Chromebook.
I need
an
Ethernet port
Pro.
First.
Yeah. All right.
What kind of high performance laptop doesn't have an Ethernet port, dude?
I don't know. It's some gaming.
Dude, lots of people. I do remember though when Silva's like, I'm gonna get. I mean, he had made so much money the previous year from shows because he was on every single show, and I knew how much he was getting per show. And so he's like, I'm gonna get a laptop to make sure.
And
I
you got a like, he got oh, a Chromebook.
Cool. And he got a Chromebook.
Pete doesn't even say goodbye anymore. Just hits the out button.
He's got to go. He's got a haircut.
He's got to. I'm telling you, Pete's changed a little bit, and his story arc is starting to turn. We'll see how it goes this season. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Thanks to Chess Liam Murphy.
Hit the like button.
Smash.
Good practice for your YouTube channel.
Wait. Exactly. Before we go, let's get him a little hype here for the like button.
Yeah. Okay.
Where is this app? Here like it is. Button. Hit that like button.
Okay. Boom. Nailed it. All right. We'll see you guys next week here on the Swolecast on RotoGrinders.com. Peace.